From the Royal Australian College of General Practitioners Annual Conference, GP12, held in October 2012 on the Gold Coast, Dr. Nathan Pinksier, Dr. Sue Page, and Janelle Jackowenko talked all things telehealth. From hardware and software, MBS incentives and item numbers, as well as advice on Skype and information on all of the RACGP resources to help you get started. This podcast is just a small taste of all of the useful information you can find at www.racgp.org.au/telehealth.
So the business models for telehealth, I think although there's not a bad business model for actually receiving your onboard incentive payments, that's a fairly substantial amount, in the long term you want to be looking at doing or conducting telehealth in a sustainable way. So I think for those of you who have experienced ad hoc telehealth consults, you're probably familiar with the amount of effort that goes into organising that one consult. And like a few of you have mentioned, just getting in contact with that specialist and going through the processes can be quite time consuming. So if you're doing that each time, you want to consult with a separate time with a separate specialist, then it's unlikely to be a sustainable model that will fit into your practice. I think the gentleman down here said that you regularly hook in with the paediatric... Do you want to tell us a little bit more? If we could get a microphone over to this guy, I'd like to hear a little... Sorry to put you on the spot, but I'd like to hear a little bit more about the way that that regular clinic came about, because I think that that's really a fantastic example of sustainable telehealth.
It actually happened because the paediatrician used to work in our practice. So she's actually seeing her own patients, which makes it so the patients know her already before they even do it by telelink. And then she moved 400 kilometres away. So the reason it was a bit easier for us because she's just continuing to see her same patients that used to come to our practice. And she does sometimes pick up new ones as well, but it's mostly her own patients.
Yeah. And you put aside a certain time every week or every fortnight?
It's every Wednesday afternoon. She does a clinic for 3 hours.
Right. And in that sense that 3-hour block is put aside, so it's in your administrative calendars, the room is put aside, it's pretty similar to having somebody come in and do a session within your general practice, only it's happening via video conferencing. Is there a support clinician in there with her or with the patients, or is it...?
We always have one of us in the room doing the... So we provide, at the start, we'll tell the paediatrician the weight, height, BMI... and anything else that's changed. Then we bring the patient in and then we sit there and do the scripts and also sometimes the paediatrician will ask us about things out of the medical records, out of the notes or other things. She'll ask us to check on something and then we do all the scripts and other things and so we're always in there for the whole consult.
Yeah, fantastic. So I think it's I think you've highlighted a number of things there. I mean, it's great continuity of care for those patients who would have otherwise lost their regular... I'll keep on moving. So business model, I think as far as income goes, you want it to be cost neutral if possible, or at least not less than face-to-face. So you probably want to look at what your... associated costs are, aside from potentially, your software or your hardware investment. If you've got extra internet that's being consumed, it might be a bit heavy initially on your administrative staff. So you've got to keep abreast of what the peripheral expenses might be. But then again, it also needs to be weighed up to make sure that there's it's clinically suitable. And potentially if your patients need to travel a long way to a specialist, then it's more clinically appropriate and potentially will deliver a better service. We've got a case where, again, an endocrinologist regularly has a clinic that meets with a diabetic nurse educator, and they're only about 50 k's away from each other. So And what happened after they got the telehealth regular clinic up and going, there was better adherence, and in fact, you know, the patients were more likely to show up closer to home than travel 50 k's into the hospital. So they knew that they could see their endocrinologist on the video conference link. Everyone was quite comfortable with it. They were at their regular general practice. And they just, not that this is quite anecdotal, but the diabetic nurse educator and the endocrinologist sort of witnessed better adherence to management of the diabetic, the older diabetic patients. So there potentially is better health outcomes in some cases.
Thanks for listening to this RACGP Telehealth Podcast. If you like what you've just heard, you can visit our website, www.racgp.org.au/telehealth, for more. You will also find the complete online and interactive telehealth education program, setting up video consultations in general practice, at www.gplearning.com.au.